let's have a vision that our ministry to children and young people is biblical, is relational, is prayerful, is in partnership with parents, and we see people coming to faith and being baptized.
Yeah.
So if that's our starting point for what's our vision, we then just work back from there to say, what would it look like if we did it?
Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of National Ministries, and I'm here today with Ed Drew. Hello, Ed.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. We're not in your normal habitat.
Nor yours, London. Adrian.
No, we're in Keswick. Yeah. Just tell us briefly what we're doing in Keswick.
There is a conference happening for about 100 people on the topic of identity, and I think it's probably not a secret to say, thinking particularly about sexuality and gender.
Yeah.
Both understanding the issues, but I think it's striking that I think most people are here because they want to know how to talk to people about it.
Right, okay. Now, I'm going to ask you in a moment why you're here. I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I'm very interested in the subject. I want to be thinking about how do I approach this clearly, theologically, pastorally. But I'm also thinking about it with an FIEC hat on. You know, there'll be different views in the FIEC. How do we manage that and think about it and serve our breadth of churches? So that's why I've come. Mm. It's very cold. And it's actually cold in this room. But we've got the warmth of fellowship. Was it Nelson who was once offered a this is the kind of historical insight you get on the FIEC podcast. Nelson was once allegedly, apocryphally, offered a cloak when he was being rowed in a boat. And he said, I need no cloak to keep me warm. The warmth of England stirs my heart or something. So there we are.
Okay, good.
Now, why have you come? You work for Faith in Kids.
Yeah.
Just tell us what Faith in Kids is.
Faith in Kids is an organization that is trying to support and encourage parents,
okay,
and help churches to thrive by raising children together who trust Jesus Christ.
Brilliant. That's a great strapline and a great mission. Mm. And tell us why you've come to this.
I've been asked to run a seminar at the end of the conference. So if we've started off with like the background to this issue and the theology, and we're going to finish.
I signed up for it, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. We're finishing by doing some practical seminars. And I've been asked practically, how are we going to talk to children and young people about the issues of gender and sexuality, mm, and how we're going to do that well?
We're not talking about that today, as it happens, but immediately people who are watching or listening, mm, will be thinking, oh boy, that's a massive subject. Mm. I'd like to get my head in around that and be thinking about it. Are there some go-to places at the moment where people could be thinking about that? Or is that part of the problem, that actually there aren't many resources?
No, I think there are. I personally would love to say, before we go to a resource, I don't think the issue amongst the FIEC church leadership is that they don't know what they think on the issue.
I think that's fair.
I think the issue is we're nervous about having conversations.
Right.
So I'm not going to fall for your trap of giving you another book to read.
I'm glad about that, because if you saw the pile of unread books, yeah, in my office, you would despair probably. Yeah.
I would love to say to church leaders, please, can you encourage parents that they can talk to their children about these issues without fear? And they can do that because they can ask their children questions. If their kids are growing up in your FIEC churches, they've heard something on this.
Yeah, sure.
If parents were asking their children good questions, that would be a massive win.
Thank you. Now let's park that to one side. What I really wanted to talk to you today about, and just basically bend your ear a little bit and get some wisdom from you, is about how we as church leaders — it's a podcast for church leaders, I'm a church leader myself — how do we encourage those in our churches who are working with young people? Mm. So this isn't about parenting per, yep, se, this is about the children's and youth work,
yeah,
that goes on in our churches. Very faithful, very fruitful often. Mm. So we had four baptisms last year, all children inside the church who had, mm, grown up inside the church. And someone had said something to me along the lines of, oh, wasn't it a shame we didn't have any outsiders, mm, who were converted? So what a sad thing to say. You know, here are four young people who have been converted to Christ wonderfully through a combination of wonderful teaching at home, through the faithful ministry of children's workers and youth leaders in the church, and obviously supremely by the Holy Spirit, that's how they've been converted. But isn't that something to rejoice in and to be pleased about? But I wonder actually if for many of our youth leaders, children's workers, it just feels like a grind. It feels like really hard work. I think I'm probably not untypical. I'm in a church of 120 people, if we were all there, which we rarely are, if we were all there. All our children's and youth work is done by volunteers. I guess that's not untypical, is it?
That's absolutely the norm.
Yeah.
And so we need to just start by saying
Look at these big flagships where, you know, masses of teams and what have you. That's not normal, is it?
No. I mean, look, the biggest, wealthiest church might be employing two people, maybe three, for zero to 18s. So there is, it's a rare church where the biggest ministry, the biggest number of people serving in ministry, Bible ministry, isn't kids and youth work.
Right. So help me out here. I'm a leader in a local church. I really want to encourage those who are working with our kids and young people. I want to affirm them and honor them. I think that's something we don't talk about very much. I want to train them and help them get trained. I don't want to overburden them and place upon them an expectation they simply can't manage. They've often got busy lives, maybe families themselves, busy jobs. So help me out a little bit here. How can I, as a church leader, what would you want to say to me as Adrian, elder of Christchurch Harborough, in terms of how I really invest in, encourage, help those who are working with children and young people?
The first thing I want to say is it can't all be on the church leader. It could be spread over the elders, but that the healthiest churches who are doing this, I see one or two elders having a particular responsibility.
Okay.
And it not usually being the church leader who take a particular care for those in this ministry. So probably we come to this conversation with a degree of guilt and tiredness. I don't know many church leaders who have a huge amount of time where they're looking for something to do.
No, I don't know any.
No, exactly. Okay, so therefore, let's start by saying, I'm not about to give you a laundry list of extra things to do. Okay. Let's, whatever we're about to do, let's make this achievable. So I would start by saying, as an eldership, let's have a vision for what our kids and youth work is doing.
Right.
So the first thing is our teams will never have a bigger vision than ours. So if we have a vision for what is happening, for how the Lord can use this ministry, of our prayer for this ministry, pass that on. Because that immediately says there's value and we believe the Spirit is at work in miraculous ways through our ministry. Yeah. Don't we all want that for any ministry? Yeah. I think the next thing I'd say is never recruit by asking for volunteers on the stage.
Okay.
A, it doesn't work, and B, it devalues everyone. We would never recruit for our small group leaders. We would never recruit for our preaching. We would never recruit from the stage. Can anyone just step up who for any Bible-opening ministry?
Okay.
So don't do that. The person who puts their hand up is the person who is either bored or, I mean, there might be, I've had one person ever walk up to me and say, I'd like to serve in children's and youth ministry. I would say I've sat and had coffees with over 100 people saying, please, will you start? And I've had people saying, I won't have a coffee with you because I know what you want to ask me.
So let's talk about that, because that's recruitment's really important, isn't it? And in fact, we've just changed a leadership of our Sunday school and our youth work in church, probably for the first time in many, many years, probably long overdue. And I'm sorry, we did do a little bit of that. I have I'm confessing my sins.
Okay.
I hope there'll be forgiveness from you.
Yep.
So we did do a little bit of that. And I think it's because we feel this is the point in church life where we feel most stretched.
Okay. And I just...
But I'd say, so tell me a little bit more about how in an ideal world, if we were doing it again.
Yeah.
Right. How should recruitment work?
I mean, first I want to ask you how many stepped forward as a result of you saying from the stage, can anyone help us with kids and youth work?
So the people we needed did step forward.
Okay. So what, how many? Two, or three, four, five?
Well, we needed someone new to head up children's ministry and had someone new to head up youth ministry.
And you got two leaders of ministry by asking from the front.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I honestly found that amazing.
Well, we're a reasonably small church.
Okay.
So asking from the front was saying to the church,
okay,
this is a need.
Okay.
It's time for the two people to step down.
Okay.
We need to be praying about this as a church.
Okay.
We need to be asking the Lord to raise up people, and maybe it's you.
Okay.
So that it was framed in that kind of,
okay,
let's work this through as a church together.
It sounds very positive.
Okay. So that's how we did it.
Yeah.
It was a whole, it was meant to be a whole church discussion. It wasn't just anybody free next Sunday.
Okay. Okay. I think particularly when we're talking about leaders of ministry, which I think because of the nature of ratios, which is for over eights, you have a ratio of about 1 to 8, and with under threes, you have a ratio of about 1 to 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of ratios, you're going to have a lot of people involved in children's and youth work.
Yeah. And especially because you don't want them doing it every single week.
I'm not going to agree with that, Adrian.
Okay.
So I think the goal in our church is everyone is able to say, my ministry is, and fill in a gap.
Right.
I think that's a reasonable goal. We come to church, we're a member of a small group, and we each have a ministry that we can name. So there are very good practical reasons why we don't want the same person doing kids' work every week on a Sunday. But I think there could be some in our churches who are gifted for it.
Yeah.
There are some in our churches who are very good at helping children to understand God's glory. And so I want to set them free to do it, and I want to find ways to enable them to do it really well. And there's one story I heard of a church where they made the radical decision to say, we're going to do 1 term on, 2 terms off.
Right. Okay.
So for a whole term, the same team was in charge of the 4s and 5s. And in the second week of the next term, after they'd done the whole term, 2 of the leaders came up to the person in charge of the ministry and said, how are our children doing?
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The lady telling me the story of her church said that's when she knew they'd made a right decision. Those 2 were missing their children.
Yeah.
They wanted to know how were they getting on. They had a church.
Mm.
They were partnering with parents to pastor a group of children. They missed them. And the reality is until we spend 3 consecutive Sundays with a group of children, we actually, it's a struggle to really feel like we're getting it. Now, I want to be clear. What I'm not saying is everyone in our churches should serve every week in children's and youth ministry or anything like that. I'm just saying, let's have a vision that our ministry to children and young people is biblical, is relational, is prayerful, is in partnership with parents, and we see people coming to faith and being baptized.
Yeah.
So if that's our starting point for what's our vision, we then just work back from there to say, what would it look like if we did it? So for instance, if team leaders as a starting point were, we knew who they were, they knew who they were, we were praying for them, we were interviewing them in church, we were finding out what the big needs were.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great starting point. I think before I go to training, or I would just say, it's quite a rare group of people who work with children or young people who have sat around a table and been thanked and been encouraged and prayed with them. So I would say, as a starting point, can you invite them around someone's table, give them a lasagna and say, what are you giving thanks for in this ministry and what are you praying for? I phrase it like that because if you say what's going well and what's broken, it becomes quite a long and painful conversation. Yeah. So if we just get one of each from each person and we listen, for most churches, that would be a radical encouragement.
So that kind of positive affirmation, really, of what people are doing.
It's acknowledging it is a ministry, it's not childcare.
Yeah. It does sometimes feel, doesn't it? I'm not now speaking about our church, I hope, but it does sometimes feel as though it's kind of filling in the gaps, children's ministry in some churches. You know, we know we've got to do it.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a burden. So let's just get some people to do it.
And
it does feel a bit like that sometimes.
Yeah, and thanks for being honest.
Yeah.
Thank you for being honest and saying that. And I had one particular woman who was the wife of an elder. She would have been in her late 50s, who would regularly come up and tell me how creche was going.
Right.
Particularly how the mums were in creche, sometimes the dads. And it got to the point where she said, I found 2 other women. We'd like to alternate one of us on every week in creche to care for the parents in the room.
Mm.
So I had 3 older women, super godly, mature Christians, whose children had long grown up, who were putting themselves back in creche because they saw that at this season of life, the parents in creche are mostly broken, tired, and wondering, why do I even bother coming to church?
Yeah, yeah.
So to have someone mature and godly just talking to them, praying with them at the end, I just thought, I thought that was amazing. Mm. The godliness of those three women.
And that's helpful, isn't it? Because I think in the creche, especially if the parents have come in, it's more obvious at that point that this is a partnership between the church and families.
Yeah.
I liked how you were describing children's work and youth work in the same way.
Yeah.
I think to some people that looks a bit more like childcare.
Yeah.
But actually reframing it in terms of, no, this is a partnership between the church and the parents, helping the parents, serving the parents as they raise their kids, reframing it that way is actually quite beautiful. And it stops just being a job at that point. It becomes a ministry, doesn't it?
Look, I work for Faith in Kids. The statistics are half of the UK church say they came to faith under the age of 11, three quarters say by the age of 18. So the stats say, and I'd argue the Bible says, the normal way into God's family is through growing up in a Christian home and growing up in a church. So I also want to be clear, my creche is mostly screaming. Our kids ministry is snotty kids who say they're often bored. And our youth ministry is, but there's no one quite like me and I've got no friends. So please don't...
No one like you and you've got no friends.
yeah. So first of all, let's just be clear. Children's and youth ministry is rarely glorious.
Yeah.
You rarely get kids putting up their hands saying, honestly, please, can we have more of your divine wisdom? Mm. Open your Bible and let's go. So however you're doing it, it's probably going to look hard grind, full of discouragement and a touch of despair and wonder why we're doing it. Mm. The Bible tells us this is how people come to faith. This is the normal way people come to faith. So it doesn't have to be the only thing our churches do. It doesn't have to be the thing we put most effort into. But we have to treat it as ministry. We have to be saying, this is where the supernatural is happening.
That's, I'm excited by that all over again. I love working with kids and I'm excited by it all over again. Just help me out a little bit here. A lot of churches in the FIC are smaller and will feel that they just don't have critical mass in kids work or youth work.
Yeah.
And maybe you're let's say you're 11 to 14.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got three.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe you've got four, but they don't get on.
Okay.
So how can we encourage leaders when it feels like the day of small things?
Okay.
There's something to do there, isn't there?
Brilliant. There is. Yeah. Let's just first of all be clear. You just have a very different problem where you have a massive youth group.
Right.
Where you have a massive youth group, the problem you've got is how do we ever make them part of the church family? How do we avoid them dropping off at the end aged 18 when they've never truly been part of the church?
Which is my story, by the way. I was converted age 12 from a non-Christian family.
Okay.
And went along to a BU church in Southend where I grew up.
Yeah.
Where I was wonderfully cared for by actually my wife's parents, who were kind of my youth leaders. But our youth group was 80.
Okay.
And the drop-off
at
the end of that, you're exactly right, was significant.
Okay.
Really significant.
Okay.
The plugging into church was virtually non-existent. So you've just nailed my teenage years.
Well, hallelujah for your supernatural story.
Yeah.
Okay. The Lord did a work in you. So first of all, it's just a different problem. In a small church, so I can name a church plant in Leeds where I know a family, they left our church to join that church. Their three boys were the only under 18s in the church plant.
Right.
What did they do? They put each of them into a different home group. None of them were in the same home group as their parents.
Oh, right.
Every week they were going, they were being offered a meal, they were being treated like adults, they were opening the Bible. They loved it. Those three boys all felt part of the church family.
Mm.
And let's just be really clear, and we're hearing it at this conference, young people need to be listened to.
Mm.
They do not need hip, cool youth culture offered to them every term.
Which is a great relief to me.
That's good, yeah. And when you say you love youth work, I hope everyone listening is clear. It's not because Adrian is skating around and wears his cap backwards.
Yeah, you
it's
know
just,
that. Yeah.
It's just because you're clear. When you ask good questions, they give you great answers.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely a thrill in that. So I'd say it's harder with a small number of children and young people. Let's first of all be clear. With under eights, they don't notice that there aren't many of them.
Right.
With under eights, if there were two children, they'd feel special.
Okay, that's helpful to hear.
With over eights.
So we're thinking, I've only got two people in my under eights group.
Great.
They're thinking, wow, look at this.
We get all the attention.
Yeah, okay.
So around about seven or eight, they go from being the only one in the world to suddenly noticing that there is no one else who's a Christian. So I would say, why don't you start small, young, and the killer stat is 75% of British under fives go along to a church-run toddler group.
Mm.
So I think that's our country's greatest evangelistic opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
If your church is running a toddler group, please have a strategy for how you're going to get one family to join your church. How are you going to get two families to join your church? It's much easier for a family to join a church when they can bring their children under their arm than when trying to drag a teenager into church for the first time. So I would say let's start young. Let's grow our children's and youth work. But if you have those teenagers, they want to be listened to and they want to feel like they're part of a church. It might not be home group, but it might just be simply talk to them before and after the service.
And your home group story is interesting because, when I first pastored a church, it was a pretty small church. And there were some other children in the church, but not many. So my children, my two elder girls were pretty much on their own in some ways. But actually, it's just interesting to observe that they develop intergenerational friendships, which you get almost nowhere else.
Yes.
And actually a really beautiful, wonderful thing.
Yes.
And so you suddenly see someone who's 13, slightly awkward 13-year-old. I'm not talking about my own children now, obviously. but you see a slightly awkward 13-year-old talking to a 50-year-old woman just about life and stuff. And it just, you think, this is beautiful. Yep. This is exactly what it should be at one level.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something to rejoice in, isn't it?
We did a podcast with a single mum called Morena. She tells the story of her two children to church on a Sunday to an FIC church. She pushed her two children through the door and shouted at them, talk to anyone. That is a picture of church.
Yeah.
They've had a bad week. They're barely talking to each other. She trusts those in her church enough. I do not mind who you talk to. Someone is going to love you, care for you, listen to you, and maybe even pray with you at the end.
And so actually that's another thing that we can do as leaders is encourage our church to see they are all involved in children's ministry. If there are children in the church, you may be single, you may be married, you may have children, you may not, but actually everyone has a role to play in nurturing and discipling children. Some people might be set aside to do that, right?
Yeah.
In a more formal way, but actually everybody could have that conversation.
It's huge. And look, there are reasons why it's difficult. I find 14 to 18-year-olds incredibly intimidating. I don't think I ever won't. The fact is,
how are you with 54-year-olds?
I find them less intimidating.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
But it's because they're very insecure. They fold their arms. They never make eye contact and they never say much. So someone being silent, looking at the floor with their arms crossed is intimidating to me. It takes courage to think, okay, every week I'm going to say hello to that one person. I'm going to find out their name. I'm going to find out what they're expecting this week. I'm going to pray for them during the week. I'm going to check in with them the week after. And that is how friendships are built.
Yeah.
And everyone always at this point asks a safeguarding question. You're not leaving the building with the individual.
No.
You're talking to them in plain sight in the church. There are no rules against that. Yeah. That
so
is
you can
glorious,
be over-realized in that kind of safeguarding world.
In my experience, the older you are, the more terrified you are of a safeguarding issue.
Yeah.
And we just need to reassure each other, safeguarding is fine with us talking to one another in church.
Yeah, okay. That's really helpful. Let me tell you something else we do that we've learned how to do. It's in a slightly painful way, but actually it's really blessed us. Again, with not many young people, is we do a little Bible study with them once a week, but also once a week we drive them 10 miles up the road to another church which had a larger youth group, and we deposit them. we share that burden.
Yeah.
And wonderfully, in that little setting, we actually send them a check every term because they look after our kids really well. The kids do a kind of informal thing on those Friday nights, but they just enjoy being with other Christians.
Yeah.
So we're not abrogating our responsibility for it, but we're saying, let's invest, driving 12 miles up the road and sitting in a coffee shop while they're in the youth group.
Yeah.
Let's invest them knowing other Christians, because they often do feel at that age very alone at school, very isolated.
And your reflection on that is it's holy blessing, as an eldership is not being complicated?
No, I mean, I think there are challenges about it.
Yeah.
Because you slightly lose control of what's being taught, for example. But actually, it's a social thing mainly they go to. I think once we started saying, can we give you some money for this?
Yeah.
Then it changes the nature of the relationship.
Okay.
We're not just piggybacking on your youth work.
Yeah.
We're saying we're really appreciating the investment you're putting in our kids.
Yeah.
We'd like to contribute to it.
Yeah.
And at that point, it feels more of a mutual relationship.
Okay.
That they're actually asking you questions about, well, what do you think about us doing this, or what do you think about us doing that?
Okay.
So we're not just using a service.
Okay.
It's not quite a partnership. Don't overstate it.
Okay.
But it feels a bit more. There's a bit more investment. We trust the church.
Great.
We know the church, and so there's a bit more investment.
Great.
I think because of that.
Great.
But I just think there are creative ways, aren't there, to help out. You know, for example, being invested in summer camps or you know, going as a church along to events where kids can mix with others. It doesn't need to be this just me and these two children, and there's no other way out of this.
I think we'd be well served by just asking ourselves a question. What does discipleship look like? I hope we're asking that creatively with our adults.
Mm.
I hope we're asking that creatively with our children and young people. In some of the patterns we are in, like, let's put them all through a kids' work and let's put them all through a youth work and drop them off the end and hope fire them off to uni or somewhere and hope it goes well. You know, some of these patterns aren't very helpful. So I just hope as an eldership, we're just asking that question about all discipleship in our church.
Mm, that's helpful. That's a very helpful challenge. We've got a few minutes left. Can we just talk very briefly at the end about training?
Mm.
I guess part of the encouragement we want to give to our leaders is to make sure they're equipped well.
Yeah.
I've always found this a real battle.
Yeah.
We have to do some safeguarding training.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do. We don't want to make that a kind of, oh, it's a necessary evil. No, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But that's one Saturday morning, let's say, there are a limited number of Saturday mornings we can get our guys together and pray together and train.
Okay.
So just give me some headlines about how we can create a good culture for developing our leaders, realizing the many burdens that are on them.
I think the first thing is let's create a culture where firstly it's ministry, and secondly, therefore, it's worth people being observed and fed back. So let's tell them we'd love to do it. Let's tell them what to expect. They're not freaked out. They don't have to change everything. So the normal pattern I see in evangelical churches is the Bible is getting opened well. Kids are being loved really well. The questions we ask them often don't get beyond what happened in the story.
Right.
And often one person is doing everything and the helpers are just watching.
Mm.
So I'd say normally if you observe, you first of all want to tell them what's going really well. And I suspect that list I've just given you. Tell them what's going well. Ask them one thing they think they could do better. And if you want, you could tell them one thing you're going to do better and finish with a positive. You know, that classic feedback sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
But often it's, let's split up into smaller groups. Now, at that point, you'd say, oh, but they're only helpers. The only helpers is a phrase every church has. It shouldn't be allowed. What they mean is we're less confident.
I've learned quite a few things that I should not be doing this podcast,
which I'm
very grateful. Here's another one.
Okay,
only helpers. Only definitely
helpers,
avoid that.
Right. And in other words, they're more nervous. But you could give them the piece of paper with the four questions on and just say, I'm just going to give you four children. You're going to ask those four questions. So therefore, children listen most when they're talking. So if you split up your group into however many leaders you've got, then more children are talking, more are listening and learning.
Right.
So that at the end, ask a few questions to get beyond what happened. That's normally the first thing, the best thing we could do to improve it. But that I think a more effective way to train and learn is by being told what you're doing really well and one thing to work on, rather than put them all in a room on a Saturday morning and give them a whole bunch of things that may be relevant to a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get forgotten by the time somebody comes around because brain capacity is
I think so.
Out anyway.
I suspect you know a lot more than me about how people learn and how people get trained. but I suspect it's not the most effective way to train people.
And I think sometimes it just becomes a box ticking exercise for the church as a whole. Yes, Sunday school leader training, tick.
Yeah.
Rather than how do we actually, and this is true of all pastoral work actually, isn't it? How do we help someone excel in the ministry that God has given them?
Yeah.
Actually, person A might be different from person B. They might need some of the same stuff.
I mean, if I just told you one sad story, we ran an online training webinar on this issue. How do we train our teams?
Right.
And we gave them that simple model of feedback and coaching.
Yeah.
And we had a paid employee of a church who said they have never had feedback on their ministry in the whole time they've been employed in that church.
Goodness.
So therefore they said, how on earth, I feel inadequate to this task. That is about as sad a story as you could hear.
Yeah.
We can be better than that.
On that note, we're going to finish.
We can be better than that. Can you tell me a happy story to finish with, Adrian?
I can tell you a happy story. My three daughters, I've baptized all three of my daughters, which is just the most wonderful, precious thing. I think, as I look at their lives, each of them very different, each of them unique, obviously, and each of their stories is unique. They've grown up in different churches because of the big age gap, and I've served in a number of different churches. But in each case, I would say it has been the influence of children's workers and youth leaders on their lives has been more than significant. It's been momentous. Now, who knows as we look back over our lives why people become Christians in a human sense? There's lots of contributory factors. But I can see as a parent just the extraordinary, enormous value, looking back, that the investment people have made in my children has delivered. And I think I want to encourage leaders to say to those parents whose children are older, don't stop remembering that. You know, tell younger parents that. Tell the youth leaders, the children's workers, just those kinds of stories, because that's the great encouragement, isn't it? That it's worth it, that the investment you're making, and the Lord does use it. And there you go. That's my happy story.
That is a better place to finish.
There we are. Thank you, Ed, so much for joining us. I really appreciate your wisdom. And you can find out more about Faith in Kids by going to their website, which is
faithinkids.org.
We'll put that in the show notes. Thank you so much. This has been Independence. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please do rate and review us. That helps other people find us. And we'll see you again soon.